John Schumann, the columnist and writer for NBA.com. He's covering the series for NBA.com. You can follow him on Twitter at John Schumann. John Schumann joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. John, thanks a lot for doing this morning. Great piece you've got up on the website right now where you actually give ideas as to how the Raptors can, as you say, unlock their guards. I'd like you to walk us through it, because I find it fascinating, and it's not as easy necessarily as people as simply, hey, make sure the guy's got the ball in his hands. Your article kind of suggests, you know what? It's where he has the ball in his hands that makes a difference.
Yeah, I think, we're seeing a lot of double teams thrown at these guys when they have the ball on the side of the floor, because, you know, the Wizards know if they double team on that side of the floor, they can leave a guy open on the opposite side, and it's tough to get the ball to him. So I think my first suggestion is to have the ball in the middle of the floor. It's something that Brooklyn did last year with Joe Johnson when the Raptors were doubling him. They would sort of set a screen down, and he'd come up from the baseline and catch the ball sort of right above the foul line. If he catches the ball there, and then let's say you do that for DeMar DeRozan, and if he catches the ball there, it's hard to double team there because, you know, if you spread the floor, you have two guys on one side, two guys on the other, everybody's one pass away. Mm-hmm. So if you send a double team to DeMar with the ball in the middle of the floor, say he catches the ball, you know, 2 or 3 feet above the foul line, you send a double team from there, well, then somebody's open one pass away, and that's an easy way to get him sort of isolated, say, against the Paul Pierce, or, you know, which he did early on in game two. You know, he sort of would go away from the screen, or he'd tell the guy a couple times where Hansbrough came up to set a screen for him, and he told Hansbrough to go away so he can just operate one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to do it. Set a screen for him and get him to catch the ball right at the top of the key, and then spread the floor. I think if you have Patrick Patterson on the floor instead of a Hansbrough, then that makes it a little bit better, because he's going to push that extra defender outside towards the 3-point line.
And I was going to say, you also point out in your column about how the San Antonio Spurs are an example of a team. A lot of defenses do everything they can to keep the ball away from the middle of the floor. And, you know, it's interesting you mention that, because the game that San Antonio played in Toronto earlier this year, where Toronto actually beat them, and it was kind of the last 3 minutes of that game, it was almost like a playoff game because it was all half court. But it was interesting that one of the things you could see the Raptors trying to do in that game was move the ball to the middle of the floor more. And and granted, San Antonio didn't have a full complement of players, but you could tell that the Raptors were finding a little bit of success doing that. Instead of just being on the left side or the right side, by moving it to the middle of the floor, you create a little spacing.
Yeah, when you watch the Spurs and say a guy closes out to a shooter, he always closes out with the inside leg, the leg that's closer to the middle of the floor, out higher. Mm-hmm. So that he's trying to push the shooter towards the sideline. That's just the way, you know, they've always operated. And their theory is, like, if you get the ball in the middle of the floor, then everybody's a pass away, and there's an easy assist to be made if you're drawing the attention of the defense. So that's the key. They really need to see if they can find ways to, let their guards operate one-on-one, or sort of take advantage of that extra defender that's going to the ball. Maybe one other way to do it is put three guards on the floor together more often. They've done that more often than not already in the series, and their offense has been better when they have three of these guys out together. That way, if DeMar draws a double team, well, now there's two other guards out there that can catch the ball and sort of take advantage of the lack of defense on the weak side. So if DeRozan and Lowry and Williams are out there together, or Vasquez with two of those three, and you have extra guys who can make plays when one guy draws the attention of two defenders.
John Schumann is a writer-reporter with NBA.com. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. How much do you think of what we've seen here, John, is also a product of the fact that The Wizards, not only did they make the playoffs like the Raptors last year, not only were they a bit of a surprise, probably not as much of a surprise as the Raptors, but they actually won a series. And they, you know, they may have a better idea what it takes to close out a game and close out a team than the Raptors do.
I'm sure that's a part of it. You know, I think in the end, it's just ultimately, I think the better team's going to win. And I think the bigger advantage that the Wizards have on the Raptors is the Wizards were a much, much better defensive team in the regular season, and they have that to fall back on. You know, the Raptors, you know, if it's an ugly game, like we saw in game one, you know, the Wizards know they can win that way. They've been winning ugly most of the year. They were a top five defensive team, ranked 18th or 19th offensively. And so they know when they can get stops when they need to. You know, their defense has been strong all season long. You can go back to last season, it was strong. The Raptors, you know, since Thanksgiving, basically, they've been one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And that's, you know, it's shown up in this series, especially. You know, their rotations are slow. You know, John Wall just picked them apart in game two. They gave him a little extra space trying to make him a shooter, but he used that extra space to find passing lanes and take advantage of their slow feet, I guess, on the weak side.
What do you think the Raptors need to do defensively to address that issue? Is there a player who could make a difference? Is there something? Yeah, I guess they are what they are, right? At this point in the season, you're not going to wave a magical defensive wand and suddenly the Raptors are going to turn into, you know, a defensively responsible team. But aside, John, from simply trying to outscore the opposition, is there any basic things that Dwayne Casey can try to do to at least give them be a little more representative defensively?
I think they've tried basically everything. You know, they defended Wall aggressively in game one, and that ended up sort of hurting them on the glass because they were, you know, they didn't have all the bodies back and on the weak side. And then they played him a little bit softer in game two, and he used that space to his advantage. There's no, you know, there's nothing, there's no magic that's going to make Valanciunas's took advantage of a lot. You know, if you get him on the move, he's just going to be a step slow recovering back to his man. So they could go, you know, with less minutes for him, you know, might help them defensively. You know, the question is, you know, if you go to Patrick Patterson, you know, he's not a good rebounder at the four. I think they've tried schematically. They've basically tried everything so far. I think they continue with what they were doing in game two, hope that the Wizards don't hit as many jump shots, and try to just be sharper with the rotations. You know, they just got to be a step faster.
Taking a look around the NBA playoffs, which series has caught your eye? And I guess, you know, I'm looking at the Spurs for a variety of reasons. I kind of happen to like the Spurs, and I'm not certain that I want the Spurs out of the playoffs just yet. I kind of enjoy having them around. Is that the series that maybe has caught your eye or maybe surprised you more?
Yeah, I mean, these are the second and third best teams in the league, basically, the Clippers and Spurs. If you look at point differential, whether you're just looking at raw point differential or on a pace-adjusted basis, these were teams 2 and 3 in the NBA. So to have them playing in the first round is tough for both of them, but obviously makes for a great first-round series. So, you know, that's the one I'm watching, and – you know, I'll be in Washington tonight, so it'll be tough. I'll have to miss most of that game. I'll have to catch it tomorrow at some point. So, yeah, that's definitely the series that I'm watching. You know, that's the only one that was 1-1. So right now, everything else has been pretty much chalk except for this Raptors-Wizards series, and I think we're seeing you know, that it pays to be a great defensive team than to be a great offensive team in this one.
What do the Spurs do if Tony Parker is as limited as it looks like he may be? You know, I mean, what he was on the bench in mid game in game two. He's still questionable for game three of the series. I know they got Patty Mills, but can they get by without Tony Parker being able to contribute on a regular basis?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I think, the Clippers sort of surprised me a little bit in game one with how well they defended the Spurs. And it gets a little bit easier, if Parker isn't 100%. Patty Mills is tough. He brings sort of a different element to it, but he's not the threat to get into the paint that Parker is. That's the biggest difference, is Parker is a guy you've got to cut off from the paint, whereas Mills is going to push the ball up the floor and look to shoot, but he's not going to drive nearly as much as Parker does.